Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. It's been a busy week of comics. Yes, I haven't gotten to read a lot, but I have been reading a lot of Venom still. I'm making my way through the Venom Bus, Volume 1, and I didn't place the order for it when it first came out and was solicited. But what I found is I was reading Marvel Unlimited at night, and I started reading the Venom miniseries, starting with Lethal Protector and moving my way through it. And I was like, man, I really need to. I'm really enjoying this. And I think it all started with the Venom movie and a marathon during the Christmas holiday where I just marshaled through a lot of Cullen Bunn. Venom and Mike Costa Venom, and I haven't even gotten to the Donny Cates yet, which is critically acclaimed. And I just became fascinated with it and the characters. So it's almost like I listen to occasionally collected what is it called? The Collected Comics Library podcast. I think that's what it's called. And what were they talking? Oh, they were talking about adopt a character. And I was like, you know what? I'm kind of adopting Venom for this year, and I'm just gonna explore as many Venom comics as possible. And then at the end of the year, I'm gonna count how many Venom comics I actually read. And just see how many comics I can read with Venom in it. And I've even gotten to some Silver Sable because he was in two issues of Silver Sable, and I started down a Silver Sable thing. And what else has happened? I watched last week. I watched the first episode of Doom Patrol. I thought it captured the heart of what Doom Patrol represents. I thought it was spectacular. There it is again, just like Titans. It's not for kids. There's sexual situations. There's a lot of F-bombs. A lot of things. Crazy Jane is off kilter. There's such an oddball amount of characters. And today, I probably will watch when we cook dinner tonight because it's cold. Usually we go get some fast food with Harley, but I think we're making something. She's ma we're making. I'm claiming credit for nothing. I don't make anything. The most I will is like help get stuff out of the way so she can clean. I mean, not clean. Cook. And then I do the dishes. That's about it. That's all my contribution is. But I think she's making green chili stew tonight, which is really good because it's cold. The whole week has been snow and below 30, highs in the 30. Today, when I got home, it was like 30. I don't know what the feels like temperature was, but it must have been pretty cold because it was cold. And I was like, I'm going to take Harley for a walk. So I popped in 11 o'clock comics. I'm so glad I started to listen to 11 o'clock comics because they record a lot of their podcasts are very long. So whereas before I'd have to find podcasts if podcast didn't come out regularly, I would like have to look for stuff. And there's a couple podcasts that I just done start I stopped digging, so I stopped listening to them. I'm not gonna say what they are, but I picked up a podcast I used to be very fond of, 11 o'clock comics, and I was listening to it, and we went for a long walk. We haven't been able to go for a long one walk all week because it's been like temperature 9. But I have taken her for short walks, and it is a really short walk. I basically take her outside the house, and then we go for the back of the house all the way along the fence, and then come back. and then I come back. But I've been doing the elliptical every morning, and I managed to finish Runaways, season two. I thought it was spectacular. I thought in the middle of the season, like towards 8, 9, 10, that was like when it hit the really cool stride for me, and then it kind of like petered out towards the end, but it still was interesting. But up to that point, it was like a build, 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 and then the last three episodes were good, but they were not as good as what had come before them, in my opinion. But I finished The Runaways, and I really, really enjoyed it. And then I was like, what else am I gonna watch? And I really need to get on the DVR and watch. I was all caught up on all the CW shows, but I haven't been in the mood. And those of you that listen to this know I'm a very mood person. So I decided to watch Batman and Bill. This was been out for a while, but I didn't have Hulu. Around Christmas time, they had a Black, well, maybe it was around Thanksgiving, they had a Black Friday Hulu sale that allowed you to get 1 year for 99 cents a month, and we jumped on that like quickly. Like, this was a fantastic deal. And that allowed me to watch Runaways. We start watching Handmaid's Tale, but I think we're two episodes in, and I haven't sort of dug that as much as I thought I would. It's just slow and it's very, very dark because you can relate a lot to it of what's happening in the current society, kind of. But I did watch an Elvira movie on there, and then I watched Batman and Bill, and I had heard other people talk about this. Whether it be Daryl or Martin or Nick from Nerdy Legion, because I do listen to that podcast religiously. And it sounded good, and I never feel like, I'm so glad I don't feel like this, because a lot of my friends in my circle feel like they have to be caught up in everything. Like, they have to read the latest books, and I hate that. I hate that shit. And I'm so glad that I just can read whenever I feel like reading. And I don't have to feel like I have to catch up. But I started watching this, and it was really, really heartbreaking because in life you come across situations where you could take the high road or the low road, and it looks like Bob Kane took the low road. Bill Finger didn't get credit for anything really, and it basically got credit in like 1966 or something like that. At one of the first conventions that he was at, he was talking. Michael Ursland, who's been involved in Batman to film type projects. He as a kid, he went to this convention in a rundown hotel in New York, which was absolutely fascinating. And that's where they had a panel with Bob Finger, and I think it was the guy that was hosting the panel that wrote up a document for a Batman fanzine and talked about Bill Finger's contribution, like how he actually did. And he actually had a lot to do with the design, because Bob Kane was going to design Batman with a mask but not a head, a cowl. He had actual like bat wings instead of cape. He had a red torso and pants, and that's when, Bill Finger said, "No, he's got to be of the night. He's got to strike fear." And then they toned the colors. They changed it to a cape. They gave him a cowl to cover his entire face. And he asked for his help to help write this. He says, "I'll draw it." And it sounds from what this is almost like the opposite of the Marvel way. Marvel way was you have a loose script. Okay, there's a family of four. They go up in space. They get hit with radiation. They come back down, and they're the Fantastic Four. And then the artist would draw it all. It sounds like Bill Finger like scripted a lot. He took notes about like what devices that certain things would look like. All this information and kept it in a notebook so he can give instruction to Bob Kane. And he just never got credit for anything. And I've heard over the years that Bob Kane really didn't draw a lot of Batman. Yeah, he was there at the beginning. And you can credit him with like coming up with the idea to talk to DC and then splitting some of the money with Bill Finger saying, "Hey, you know, we got a gig to do this Batman comic, let's do it." But never, he says, "My name will always be in the front." And at the time, you don't think this is going to turn into this big of a deal. And after that convention, he kind of slammed Bill Finger and says, "No, I'm the sole creator. I did this and this and this." And I think he could have took the high road. And he had opportunity during when Batman 66 came out, when the movies came out, to take the high road. And the one thing that he did get credit for early on was he pen he wrote the script for a Batman 66 episode, and it was kind of a big deal because he finally got credit for doing something with Batman, even though he's always been there behind the scenes. And they even had editors like Carmen Infantino. You know, he was telling the truth. Jim Robinson, Jerry Robinson was saying stuff. I mean, it had a lot of research done behind it, and it just was heartbreaking because he kind of died, and nobody really knew except for his friend that he penned Batman 66 with because they lived in the same building. He hadn't seen his friend in a couple days, and you know he can't come knock. Knocked on his door and nobody answered, and he saw all the eviction notices on the front door. And he has a spare key. He opens up the and he sees him covered like almost to the eyeballs with a blanket. And he comes in and he's not moving at all. And he realizes he's dead. And he got buried in a potter's field because there was no money to bury him. So it just is a really, really sad situation for some, and you see this thing with the Superman creators. It's really, really sad. I just think that there were opportunities for Bob Kane to at least open up and say, "Hey, this guy helped me," to give him some of the proceeds to take the high road, and he didn't. If I'm at work, I always make sure that anybody who helps me or does something gets credit, whether it be in a meeting, you know, I'll point it out, or I don't like to take sole credit for anything, 'cause I just think you need to spread the wealth for anybody that helps you do something, and it's karma. And I don't know, it's just really, really heartbreaking. I haven't finished watching it either because I do the elliptical anywhere from 30 to 40 minutes, and the documentary on Hulu is about, I think it's an hour and 30, and I only got like 30 minutes in this morning because I kind of slept late because I got up in the middle of the night and read some more Venom. I've been tending to do that lately. Just getting up at 2:30 a.m. and reading some Venom. I did get to read some Lone Ranger yesterday too. Not the new one, but the the original ongoing. So, yeah, I've been varying my reading habits quite a bit. Like I last week was read Sonya and Conan. I just wanted to read that. And then I read some DC, and I wasn't even in the mood for it, but I got into the JLA again, the Monkey stuff. I read two issues of that, and I'm like, holy crap. It is just so good that I was in the mood for it instantaneously. I just like, wow. We'll be talking about that. We're supposed to record a DC Spotlight and talk about Detective, that, and the latest Red Hood. So I got all caught up on those series. Kyle had to cancel because he wasn't feeling well. So hopefully this week we'll get that knocked out. And that wrapped up the Monkey run. So I don't know. Because I pick the JLA, I would like to see him pick something to guide what we tackle next. Because I think the retro part of the podcast is what I've been personally enjoying the most. And I don't know. It's like I enjoy the current stuff, but I just been in the mood. And I'll tell you, I've been in a lot of weird moods lately. And I roll with it. Like the acquisition of comic books. I've been acquiring tons of Marvel comics from the Bronze Age. I've completed Marvel 2-in-1 recently. I am on the verge. I'm 6 issues away from Marvel Team Up completing. And I do have some expensive ones. I think I have 1, 2, like 6 and 7. And then 1 Guardians of the Galaxy issue that's like way up there. And then 3 annuals, and then I'm done. And then I just purchased, that just came in today, I haven't opened it yet, but it's a box full of Captain America. And I'm almost completed Captain America Volume 1. And that one, I do have the expensive ones knocked out, like Issue 100 and First Appearance of the Falcon and all that. So a lot of the ones that I think I can wrap that series up within, I would like to do it within this this year. It'll be one of my goals. One of them was Men of War. And I can't remember what my goals were. God. But I've been all over the place. And then this week, I received 2 shipments from DCBS. One was because of weather. It was delayed until Monday. And then we had bad weather, so I couldn't get to the shop. The UPS store and get it. And I had to wait 2 days because of weather. So this week I got 2, and that shipment was big. That box was heavy. As a matter of fact, I felt really bad for the girl that was working back of the counter to bring the box back. This week's package was only 14 pounds, and I haven't opened it yet. But that one had Wonder Woman Omnibus by Phil Jimenez, which is a big old monster. Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel, Here Is Born by Claremont, Omnibus. It had a Wally Wood, Daredevil Aces, Shock from Aftershock, a Marvel Epic Collection from Excalibur. What else? It had Sugar, which is an Image direct to trade. I bought Decades, the 1950s, because I wanted to read some 1950s Cap. The other stuff is obtainable, 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, I'll have all that. But I want to see the 50s. And then when we were on Geek Brunch, I was like, how do I not have these Garth Ennis war stories? And I went through my DCBS order, and I saw I had ordered Battlefields Trade number 2, but I didn't have 1 and 3, so I ordered 1 and 3. I got Mr. Miracle. I pre-ordered that before I realized I didn't like it. But How could I say it? I like it, but I don't like it. I find it very lazy, to not tell me how the story was and just say, "Oh, this is Mr. Miracle and he's off to his next adventure. Did this really happen? How did it really happen? Does he really have a kid?" We'll never know. And it's to me, it's ridiculous. I don't know. A lot of people thought it was great, which is good. Not everything is for everybody. I rated a lot of issues, 4 out of 5s, 5 out of 5s. I just feel like it didn't work for me on the end. And then there was a direct to digital first time in print, Daughters of the Dragon. It's a small trade. They've been doing a lot of these lately, the Marvel ones. And then there was, this is a digital too, that didn't cut, that went direct to trade. And it was Suicide Squad Hell to Pay. And it takes place right after the animated film, which I did watch. And then yesterday I went to the shop. And I picked up, was it yesterday? No, it was Wednesday. Mr. Wednesday Warrior. I went to the shop and just to get my books. And usually I just get my books. I look what's on the shelf. I usually don't pick up anything off the shelf. I usually talk to the guys for about 20 minutes, 15, 10, 20 minutes. And then I usually leave. If they get a new collection in, I'll thumb through it. See what's in it. See if anything's interesting. And this one had an interesting book. It had Jungle Action number 5, which is the first Black Panther solo story. So I picked that up. It was in VG. It wasn't, but it's an expensive book, so I thought it would be a good one to have. I picked up the first issue of Marvel Supervillain Team Up, number 1. That one looks immaculate, but it's not as immaculate as you'd think. That's why it was cheap. It had a stain on the back cover, and it was a little warped. But the front cover looks immaculate. The other book I picked up was a Marvel Team Up because I needed it. It was an annual number 5. I still need to pick up some annuals. I talked about that briefly. So it was just my regular DC comics and 3 issues. I thought, hey, that's good. Good. And then the guy mentioned, he says, Ed wants to get rid of those books that he picked up in the collection. He didn't even price them. And he wants to get rid of them for a buck. And I looked at it. I saw 90 issues of Conan the Barbarian, almost in sequential order from like 40 to 100 and something. And I'm like, these are in VG to fine, with there was a couple that were in very fine, and they were only a buck. And I'm like, I can't let this go. I gotta take them because I didn't plan on completing Conan the Barbarian. It just ran across it. Not only did I run across that, but he was throwing magazines in there, and there were a bunch of Epic Illustrateds for a buck. I didn't pick those up, but I did pick up every Conan issue that he had. And then I've been trying to complete the Marvel graphic novel, and I bought issue 2, which was a Michael Moorcock issue. And I'm not into that stuff, but I wanted to complete it. That was there. I picked up a Heavy Metal 1941 official adaptation from the movie with John Belushi. And then I picked up X-Men Men Loves God Kills first print for $1, and I had paid more for a seventh print. So even though I had already had it, I couldn't pass up a first print for a buck. Drinking some orange juice because that walk was super cold, and we went for a long one. It's about 1 mile and 1.2 miles. And at the halfway point, I was really, really cold. I can't imagine Harley being cold because she's only got fur. But I was freezing. And I'm just cold. I should be drinking like a hot chocolate, but I just felt like some orange juice. So I bought all those Conan issues and I spent Thursday night bagging and boarding them. And in Mylar, they look like very fine, all of them. They look amazing. It was a really, really good pickup. And then the Reed books came in, and I think there's like some fanzines in there. There's some comic scene. There's some Wizard magazines he sent me. There's some odd stuff that I was interested in, and he has like one issue of. I'll have to go through that and see all what's in there. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Batman and Bill because I really dug it. I think you should check it out if you haven't already. You probably have. I'm just late to the scene, especially when it comes to TV. Just generally late. Movies, I'm pretty caught up with. We go to the movies almost every week. And I like going to see the films. I really do. We saw is it Anita? Alita Battle Angel. Amazing spectacle of a film, and I really enjoyed it. And it's based on manga and anime stuff, and that stuff I don't like at all. I've dipped my toe in, and every time I dip my toe in, I'm like, wow, this isn't for me. And it's usually the stylistic things that are in that, the big eyes, the animation, in terms of manga reading backwards, it just doesn't work for me. And there's like a strangeness. There's a different level of extremeness to at least the volumes I've read that I don't know, it just doesn't click with me. But I'm glad that manga and anime exist, and I'm glad my friends love it. Just like I'm glad people like Doctor Who. I just can't stand it. But we all have our likes and dislikes, but I like when people talk about stuff and they're passionate about stuff, and I could care less if I don't like it. Just like to hear positivity. So I wanted to talk about that, and then I thought I'd do a Nick sent me a bunch of top fives, and I thought I would knock out at least two of them. Rank them in the top five lists, your favorite New Mutant members. In no particular order. I like Dainey, Moon. What is her name? Moonshadow? Moon. She's one of the original ones, and I can't remember what name she goes by. She was actually an S. Oh. A Valkyrie at one point of time too in the books, and I really like her. Ileana, which she's magic, is one of my favorite characters, favorite X-Men, so I really like her. I like Warlock a lot, so I'd rank that in there. Wolfsbane I think would be in there. And wow. Because New Mutants could have a lot of the awesome characters towards the end of the run. Because wasn't Cable in New Mutants? Deadpool? I'll go with Warpath because Warpath was in it, and I loved Warpath. I still do love Warpath. He's one of my favorite X-Men. So that's what I'll go with. Those are my top five, and it could change. And I did read their first appearance recently, and I thought it was very, very good. Ooh, the first appearance of Warpath is on New Mutants 16, and I do have that issue. He was early. And he didn't get like the Thunderbird costume until much later. But those are my picks. And then your top five Defender members. Well, one of my favorites of all time is Nighthawk. From a physical looking perspective, and he's the most interesting. He was like a he had so much problems. He was rich and he was a drunk driver and he killed people and he just made some badass decisions, but he's fascinating to me. Nighthawk. Valkyrie is another one that I absolutely love because she has a husband and she doesn't even remember him. When Valkyrie comes and takes the body of this character, she was married and he loved her with a passion. And that whole thing is just absolutely fascinating. I love that character. Doctor Strange, I think he, as a team member, he'll always be a defender to me instead of an Avenger. He just works so well as a defender. The other ones would be Son of Satan, Hellstorm. He came much later, but he was early on in a supporting character in there. Absolutely fascinating character. I love him as a character. I have Son of Satan and all of his appearances. I have his first appearance as just himself and then his first appearance as Son of Satan. His first appearance as himself is in Ghost Rider. But so that's four. And then I'd have to go with the Hulk, the dumb Hulk. Early on, I always loved how the Hulk was on this team. I found it absolutely fascinating. How do you control a monster? How do you, he always seemed to be, you'd use the girls to Valkyrie or Patsy Walker or Red Guardian or they'd seem to calm him down. Whereas the men would just piss him off, especially Namor. I love that banter between them. So that's my five: Nighthawk, Valkyrie, Hulk, Doctor Strange, and Son of Satan. Those are my top five. And that's where I'll stop. And I'll be back with the. What else did I want to talk about? There was something else I wanted to talk about recently, and I forgot. Oh, it was about DC. There was a rumor about 2 weeks ago, and I had tweeted it, and I knew it was a rumor because it's Bleeding Cool. But it was about DC cutting down to 23 titles, and then Dan DiDio said, "No, that's false." But there was a Comics Pro retailer summit, and he did say there was going to be a reduction of titles. And I think he's just talking about like ongoings. But if you look at, like, somebody made it a point to tell me, if you look at ongoings, they're already down pretty low. If you don't count, there's like six titles that are twice monthly. If you don't count those, they're already pretty low, and then they're canceling a lot of the titles that are New Age of Heroes, Terrifics, and some of those are going to go by the wayside. And they've been launching a lot of minis, but I think when they're I think they're gonna get close to that 29 or 30 number on the DC proper, which is interesting because DC back in the day had an implosion where they launched so many titles and then it didn't work and then they shrunk down the line again. So this is what could be happening. And I think it could be interesting from a quality perspective, because if you're gonna have like a fixed line and a low amount of line, you'd want to like maximize that line. You'd want to make sure that fans try to get more of that line and that you weren't strip mining your own clientele. In other words, I'm not gonna drop Batman to pick up something else. Or I'm not talking about cross company thing. That's another thing you have to deal with, but you don't want to have somebody drop Blue Beetle and pick up Booster Gold. You want to try to gain readers. And by having a small lineup, maybe there's more incentive for people to get more of the line. I don't know. We'll see. It could be very interesting on what's going to happen. There's a lot of things in motion at DC. I think their black label is going bye-bye. Hopefully their Vertigo line stays intact with at least 4 to 5 titles. I don't think that's counted in this retailer summit. They said their Walmart books have been doing fantastic. I don't see evidence of that, at least at my Walmart. It's getting ridiculously like stocked and they don't clean it up. I hear some Walmarts are really sharp and they remove books that don't sell. This one's like horrible, but I have been able to get almost every issue there except for that Superman controversial one, which I had to order from a friend. Drew hooked me up. But I did pick up all the new number ones, Wonder Woman number one, Walmart, Swamp Thing number one, which it looks amazing. That's the one that I'm really excited about. Flash number one and Titans number one. And they got rid of Teen Titans number one, replaced it with Titans. Justice League was replaced, I believe, with Wonder Woman. And so those two went away, and then Superman and Batman continue to trug along. But they have some interesting stories. They have the Andy Diggle, Adam Strange in the Flash. I was like, wow, they're doing some crazy stuff. Gail Simone is doing a Flash comic. There's some interesting things happening. And they say that those are doing well. So that's a good thing. That's in my opinion, that is a good thing. It is a hassle because you never know if they're going to miss an issue. I can't pre-order it. I love to be able to say I want that and I'm going to get it rather than I have to go find it. But there's a lot of Walmarts and I still hope that they do Target more. I do like to shop at Target more than I do Walmart. We're there every week. So I was able to get the DC Primal Age, which I thought was fantastic. I did read that. But anyway, that summit was interesting. They talked about one of the new women that was in charge. And I think we're going to start seeing some stuff. I think there's going to be a refocus and maybe another relaunch. I don't know what's going to happen, but things are shuffling and there's going to be change with that shuffling. The kids line is probably going to go. I've noticed a decrease in that. The Hanna-Barbera line is already out the door. The Brian Michael Bendis stuff seems to be wrapping up, and I've been loving that stuff. The Wonder Comics just kicked off, so that's like 4 or 5 titles. Really good debut issues. But we'll see. So I'm gonna pause here for a second. I'm gonna calculate, I'm gonna go find out my weekly reads. And I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. And this will be fast because this was a pathetic week for reading. What happened this week, that week, is I was really sick. And it was hard to read, but I did manage to read some stuff for Geek Brunch. And that's what the focus was, really. And then I got into that Conan Red Sonja thing that I talked about recently, which is led by the relaunch of Conan the Barbarian, which has been outstanding. I'm actually caught up on all three issues. I haven't read Savage Sword of yet, but I'll probably read that. So I'll start with the. There was a total of 13 comics. There were two Marvel, one Dynamite, six Dark Horse, one Boom, one Black Mask, one Archie, and one Albatross. So I'm going to start at the bottom. I read this digitally, Marvel Unlimited, Unbelievable Gwenpool number 15. This was when this is a two-issue arc of Gwenpool that I didn't dig so much, where I was high up on it before, but it has Gwen teaming up with Hawkeye, the female Hawkeye, Ghost Rider, the new one, Jaime, or is that his name, Jaime? And they work together to save her ghost friend Cecil to try to make him human again. They actually don't get to make him human again, but do transfer his body into a monster and save him from a bunch of dwarves. So now he's like this blue monster. It kind of looks like the blue monster from Legends of Tomorrow. Gwen ends up going to her home to see what her comic book family is like in this world, and she talks to her brother. So that's interesting. She knows she's from our world, like as a reader of comic books, and she goes put into the Marvel universe, and she's going to visit her Marvel family. So that was a 3 out of 5. We then get, which means I liked it. We then get into the Boom. I wanted to like this one a little bit more than I did, but it was sort of. Well, we'll see where it goes. It's called the Avant-Gardes, and it's a basketball, girls' basketball team type book. It's a new girl in college is recruited by one enthusiastic girl who's trying to start a women's basketball team at an art school. And it's sort of just building, in this first issue, it's sort of just built the girl that's trying to form the team, and then the girl that looks like she's going to be a good player that's coming to the school, and it kind of seems like an introvert. We then get into Black Mask. We have the Blackening. In the distant future, a virus causes humans to implant mostly cybernetics in their body. And the reason is this virus just kind of like eats away flesh and stuff, and they have to like get down to the bare bones. And this particular issue focuses on a gay couple. And one day, one of the men is coming home from work and finds his spouse dead and his daughter has been kidnapped. A security force is looking into it because an organization is reusing body parts, and that is forbidden in this. And that kind of involves like another organization instead of the just standard police. It involves like this secret organization. They're really interested in who's stealing these body parts. The main character is sort of teaming up with the cop to find out what happened to his daughter. It was an interesting opening. Good art, good story. We then get into Grumble number one. This is a magic user teams up with a magic con man. And he's basically conning stuff in like a Vegas type situation. When an intergalactic police force comes to arrest them, there also appears to be a bounty on them. The one con man gets stuck in a pug form. What I mean by that, in a dog that's actually a pug. Mike Norton is drawing it, and he likes to draw pugs. So Grumble number one, it has a a vibe of Men in Black. It really does. It feels like that. And if you like Men in Black, the movies, or if you read Men in Black, the comic book, you should probably check out Grumble number one. We then get into a Dark Horse book. I read this in epic format. The Conan Epic Collection came out, and what they're doing, focusing, they have the omnibus focusing on the Marvel released comic books, and they have the Epic line focusing on the Dark Horse books, kind of like they did with Star Wars. And this Conan was called The Legend, number zero. A prince and his advisor are going through destroyed areas of land to get artifacts and slaves for his father. The prince finds the tomb of Conan. A prince and his advisor are going through the destroyed areas of the land to get artifacts and slaves for his. I already said that. He demands his advisor tell him the tales of a person which he found fascinating in Conan. So his advisor is reluctant to tell him these tales, but he can't stop his prince from learning about Conan. And that's kind of like what introduces the Conan series by Kurt Busiek. We have Blossoms 666, number one. The Blossom Kid. The Blossom Kids appear to have some devilish pact and invite everyone over to a party at their house. You have a situation where the Blossom, God, I can't think of, there's Cheryl Blossom and then there's her brother, and I can't think of her brother's name. But anyway, he's picking on, he actually saves Dylan from getting picked on by Reggie. And then at the party, it's like he's giving him the opportunity for Dylan to get revenge on Reggie. It's like, here, kill him. And you find out that their parents are doing like satanic rituals, and that this party is like, it seems like they're going to be stealing souls. So that's what Blossom is. The Blossoms 666 is at Archie. Even Cheryl, no, it's not Cheryl. Cheryl protects Dylan, I'm sorry. And then her brother protects Jughead because Jughead has a paper. He's going to fail out of school and because he missed a deadline. And he actually gets an extension because of one of the Blossoms saying, hey, you know, you should give him an extension. Jughead's telling the truth, even though he wasn't, about why he lost his paper. But then Jughead didn't show up to the party, so I think he's gonna be the one to save the day. That's just what I'm throwing out there. We have Legends of Red Sonja, number two. This has been phenomenal. I love it. Gail Simone and several other writers teaming up to tell this overarching story. Red Sonja and Gordak make a wager to get a ruby from a mythological beast. He brags along the way, that he's doing the work while Red Sonja lets he's essentially writing Red Sonja's coattails, but he's lying to everybody else in the story, trying to up his reputation. They do kill the beast to get this ruby, but Red Sonja lets Gordak wear the ruby. The second story is where Red Sonja's executing a beautiful dancer and her daughter to dance for a duke. They have to fight many men along the way. The dancer ends up killing the duke, as when she reveals herself, she turns men into bones. The little girl tells of the Red Sonja tales. So it's basically tales of Red Sonja, and you're seeing these tales through the eyes of the people that she's affecting, and it's really, really awesome. And I think the death of this duke leads, in future issues, leads mercenaries and people to go after Red Sonja in one big group. Like it's in and it all these people that are after Red Sonja have been wronged by her in some way. Really spectacular. I really was in the mood for it. And then we get to Conan 1 through 5 from Dark Horse. Conan comes to rescue across the comes to the rescue and comes across the Vanir killing a Viking tribe of women and kids and warriors and the warriors. Conan defends and kills four Vanir before the Aesir arrive, and that's the one that was losing the women and children because they were off hunting. They attack him thinking he was bad, but the woman he saved, Henga, defends him as he is attacked by her lover. Conan is asked to join them as they clean up the village and burn their dead. Conan tells why he is so far up north seeking Hyperborea. The leader of the Aesir asks Conan to seek out the Vanir who attacked, and then they will help him along his way to Hyperborea. Conan has sex with that woman, Hengra, that causes Hengra's husband to be very bitter, and he never liked Conan. They got into fisticuffs early on in the story. Conan and the Aesir defeat the Vanir, but Conan sort of loses his mind due to the cold and wounds and follows a Viking goddess into the vast snow and almost dies, but is saved by the Aesir. The Aesir and Conan are betrayed by two Assyrians as they are tracking down the remaining Vanir, but they're captured by the Hyperboreans. That is the group where Conan was going to go. That's where he was headed because that land is supposed to be like heaven. They are drugged and kept as slaves until a slave woman provides a leaf that will negate the drug that's affecting Conan. And Conan asks her for more leaves so he can free the remaining Assyrians and escape. It was fantastic. I rated it a 4 out of 5. So all these books were 4 out of 5s except for the Avant Gardes and Unbelievable Gwenpool. And then finally, She-Hulk 163. This was the finale of the renumbering of She-Hulk, which started off as Hulk, and then the Hulk story migrated to She-Hulk, and then the legacy numbering kicked in. And this is Patsy and Jennifer at a prom protecting a mutant girl from being attacked. Her mom was arrested trying to protect her daughter from a mob and in prison for 5 years because for whatever she did. I can't remember what she did. Jennifer is her lawyer for this the mom, and she didn't get her off, so she feels guilty as now protecting her daughter. Her and Hellcat are there kind of as what do they call them? Parents that are watching the situation to make sure things don't get out of control. I can't think of the term that they use for that. But the mob is growing outside of the prom. And they're causing hell, and they invade the prom, trying to attack the girl. And She-Hulk and Hellcat essentially protect her from the mob. Solid issue to wrap up the series, and the art was fantastic. That was a 4 out of 5. So there were all the books were I really liked it. There were no I love it's that week, probably because I was sick. But that's how it all panned out. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was quick. I wasn't planning on doing one, but I managed to get one off, and it looks like I made it about an hour. So it's a little shorter than usual, but I did get one in, and I will talk to you again very, very soon. I'm going to go open up my box of comics and check them out. You can always follow me on Twitter and see what I get. I post pics of everything at Mike Myers Brunch. You can also send me questions there at Mike Myers Brunch. And what else? You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. That's my email. If you want to send me email, I love emails when I do get them. And I do check email every day, like unlike some people. Most of the stuff I get is like, hey, Kickstarter notification, that kind of stuff. But every now and then there's a great email. And the website is geekbrunchpodcast.com, where you can find all the episode threads for Geek Brunch, Geek Brunch Retro, Mike M's Weekly Reads, Mike M's Collector's Corner. And then also head over to DC Noise Podcast, where you can see latest episode of DC Spotlight with me and Kyle. So check those out. And if you get a chance, leave an iTunes review. It would be greatly appreciated. I know a lot of you don't use iTunes, but if you do use iTunes, it would be appreciated. Or do whatever you can to support the shows, such as liking the stuff on Facebook or Twitter, or also you can retweet it and get more visibility, because that would be very helpful if you enjoy the shows. And I want to thank you for listening. Thank you, Nick, for the top five, especially like the Defenders, because that's my jam. New Mutants, I think, will be coming my jam. I explored it early on when it first started, like issues 1 through, 16, and dropped off. And then I got back in sort of around the relaunch, and with Rob Liefeld, and finished that up into X-Force. But I just recently picked up the Marvel graphic novel with their first appearance, and I thought it was fascinating. I loved it. So I think they'll be getting up there in my rankings as I explore more New Mutants. So thanks for listening, and I will catch you next week. I didn't expect to do this one, but it turned out to be a lot of fun. I'll talk to you again soon, and we'll see what happens to DC. I think we'll probably know in about 2 or 3 months. I'll talk to you later. Bye.